welcome to the Author Roundup, a special segment of the Book Connection Show, where we meet up-and-coming indie authors and talk to them about their recently released books. Hi, everyone. This is Laurel with the Book Connection Show Author Roundup Series, and today we are joined by an awesome Wespo Press author, Michael Byrne. I would like to introduce the author of a book who has broken all ties with conventional theology. The author poses what he claims to be a fact-based argument completely supported by the Bible, which challenges all of the current church doctrine and beliefs that has been compiled over the last 2,000 years. So, Michael, thank you so much for joining us today. I'll have you start out by just introducing yourself and telling us a little bit about your book.
So this book deals with the logic-based analysis of the person of Jesus Christ. The actual Bible is written in such a way that the true identity of the person of Jesus Christ has been hidden. Understanding his true identity reveals how it is possible that his death and resurrection can actually make it possible for humanity to be redeemed from the end time events prophesied to come upon this world. This book is about the true person of Jesus Christ. This book does not just build on the latest current ideas or the prevailing misconceptions of who Jesus is. Throughout history, Satan has done everything in his power to destroy the Word of God. Satan thinks that mankind can only understand what he, Satan, reveals to us on the surface from a literal reading of the scriptures that have been handed down to us in the form of the King James Bible. It is very difficult to get a full grasp of God's design for humanity. The one thing that can be gleaned from a reading of the Bible is the idea that we should live a certain way. The scribes and Pharisees adhered to the same beliefs as do our leaders today, and listened to what Jesus said to them. In the Gospel of Matthew, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like whitewashed tombs, which indeed appear to be beautiful outwardly, but inside are full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness. Even so, you also outwardly appear righteous to men, but inside you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness." People are born with an inherent belief in God. This is part of who we are. People have historically taken advantage of that belief and the fear of mortality to create a multi-billion dollar industry. Even with those strong inherent beliefs and fears, people refuse to go to church because of in their opinion, all these churchgoers are hypocrites. They are very aware of their own imperfections as well as their own inability to overcome their inherent human nature. The highest court of the land dictates laws and ordinances that even they don't follow. Jesus says in the Gospel of Luke, "Woe to you also, lawyers, for you load men with burdens hard to bear, and you yourselves do not touch the burdens with one of your fingers." Today, laws are enacted without so much as a thought of how human beings can live up to these lofty expectations. Why should lawmakers worry about the masses? They have tenure. These are the issues that are dealt with in this book, the true person of Jesus Christ, the true gospel, and the only way that a person can live the ideals that are expressed in the Bible. Everything in the Bible has been misconstrued. Words that carry weight in the Bible are rendered useless in our modern society. We pull words out of the Bible like love, faith, hope, and denigrate them to mean the opposite of their intended meaning. The feelings that we attribute to love should better be labeled as want. In 1 Corinthians 13, we have a summation of God's understanding of love. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. There is nothing in that passage that reflects what the word love means in our society. The word that better defines our use of the word love is want. Want is impatient and cruel. Want is full of envy. Want parades itself and is puffed up. Want behaves rudely, seeks its own, is easily provoked, always thinks evil, rejoices in iniquity, despises the truth, cannot bear anything, believes nothing, hopes in nothing, has no endurance. Want will always fail. The world and every person in it has been condemned by God. Ezekiel says, the soul who sins shall die. The Apostle Paul writes in Romans, the wages of sin is death. In Hebrews, we read, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus states in the Gospel of John, I and my Father are one. Jesus and the Father are in complete agreement, and it is impossible for them to lie. The only hope for mankind is the way that Jesus Christ has revealed to us in the New Testament of the Bible. What is revealed in this book is the true person of Jesus Christ, the true gospel, and the only way out for this condemned world. Every time a catastrophe was to come upon the world in ancient times, God would send out a warning to repent. Noah preached to those who would be destroyed in the deluge. Lot preached to those who would be destroyed in Sodom and Gomorrah. Various prophets gave warnings prior to all of the disasters that would come upon ancient Israel. All of the prophets were rejected. And all those who rejected the call to repent suffered the events that had been prophesied. Unfortunately, this book must be rejected in order for the judgments that were prescribed from the beginning of time to come down upon this world. Now is the time to repent and believe the gospel. And what is written in this book is the gospel. The person of Jesus Christ has been hidden since the beginning of time, as stated in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 7 and 8. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew, for had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. It was necessary that Christ's identity had to be hidden, otherwise he never would have been crucified. Mankind is still under the same disillusionment of the identity of Jesus Christ. I'm sure it was much easier to try and convince someone in the first century AD to believe God's gospel than it is today to try to convince anyone to believe that same gospel. Even though no one could deny that there is an extreme contrast between the world's view of Christianity and what's written in the Bible, no one wants to give up their world's view. What is written in this book is the truth of the gospel. You have never heard it before, and the majority of people don't want to hear it now. They did everything in their power to destroy it in the first century AD, and they will do everything in their power to disparage it in this century. It sounds a little melodramatic, but if anything, I'm understating the magnitude of what's written in this book. If it reveals who Jesus is and reconciles all those questions that your priest or minister cannot, it answers every question you've ever had regarding the gospel. It gives you the knowledge to finally understand what is written in the Bible, and not just the knowledge, but the power to overcome all anxiety, temptation, and sin in your life. The fact is, most people are very content to live out their days in sin, thinking that they can just toss a few coins in the plate on Sunday morning, and all the scary images of hell will dissipate. People think that making a sizable donation to a worthy cause, building a wing on a hospital, giving away all their money is going to somehow pay for a ticket into paradise. It won't. It won't even pay for the taxi to the airport. This book reveals the only way out of this God-forsaken world, and I don't believe that there is any other book other than the Bible itself that can provide you with that information.
That was very well said, Michael. You've definitely taken a lot of thought into this book. Was there anything in particular that inspired you to write this book, or was there a certain circumstance or incident that you were like, I'm going to sit down and write this all down?
Well, I had to write a book because there has to be a protected source that cannot be tampered with. We live in an age of lies and deceptions. There is no organization in the world that I know of that is preaching the gospel of God or has any inkling into who Jesus Christ really is. I have somehow come to an understanding of who that Jesus Christ really is and feel compelled to share that understanding with the rest of the world. I thought of other ways to share this understanding, but I realized at some point that it needed to have copyright protection. Even though I realize that this book will be held up to public criticism and disparaged in the majority of circles, I like to think I'm comforted in knowing that the truth is available to everyone.
Do you know how long roughly it took you to complete the book, or has this just been ongoing for a long time?
Well, before beginning to write this book, I spent 46 years reading and studying the Bible. There have been many starts and stops over the years trying to come to a complete understanding of what I have now written, but the form in which this book now takes took just over a year to write. I never really had any understanding of how I was going to write this book or how it would be organized. I started writing, and as I wrote, I would repeatedly get these insights into the composition and organization of the book. There were times when I thought I was finished, and then I would write another 10,000 words, trying to clarify certain points. There were times in the beginning when I could easily veer off on some tangents that added nothing to the composition of the book, and after spending days of trying to polish it, I would finally just delete it. There was one time I spent days putting together an argument which followed the logic and tied a number of the premises together, and I accidentally deleted it. So yeah, there were moments.
So in a way, this has kind of been like a decades long progress, but it took you about a year to compile the book?
Yeah, that's about it.
Okay. Did you have a certain part where that was the most fun to write when you were writing this book?
There were moments when I felt ecstatic when some of the different understandings that I have been privileged to understand just seemed to blend in with the rest of the logic of the book and that of the Bible. And then there were those moments spent reading passages that I had just written where I was just blown away by the content. It was like I was reading something someone else had written. The more I wrote, the more I understood, and the more I understood, the more everything made sense. There were certainly times of intense feelings. It was kind of surrealistic. I spent years thinking of how I would like to write this book, but I never had any comprehension as to the how.
So was there a part that was more difficult to write for you?
The most difficult part of my writing process was accuracy. Everything had to meld together. Every idea had to be supported by scripture. I could not, in all moral conscience, publish a book that I didn't believe was 100% aligned with the truth of God's gospel. There were a number of times when I was stressed out more than you can possibly imagine. The logic that ties together the various premises that are presented in this book needed to support one another as well as the final conclusions. There were times when I did not understand the logic. There were times when I reached a point where I was ready to scrap the book, or times when I would think that it would take me another year to try to understand the logic. There were times when I would become extremely frustrated. I would try to calm myself down by making a cup of tea, and within minutes, it would just all come to me. I'd remember the supporting scripture, or I would just understand another piece of the logic. At times, it was difficult.
That's very interesting. I know that you said that when you were ecstatic about writing that you had a lot of emotions. So I feel like, was that kind of when you were enjoying writing and having difficulty, you just had a lot of emotion?
I would go days and weeks with, I'd always feel good about at the end of the day, you know, I would try to finish everything I was writing, really at the end of the day, I always felt pretty good of what I wrote. But during the day, there were moments when it was stressful. And that one time that I deleted everything, mm-hmm. At the end of the day, I somehow deleted it, you know? And then I had to wait the entire like it was at nighttime by that time. So I had to wait the next day to try to piece together everything that I had deleted. It was stressful. Yeah.
Yeah, I can imagine. Have you received any feedback or read any reviews about your book that have kind of stuck with you or that you've enjoyed?
I received a written comment from an editor who read the book I'd like to share with you.
Okay.
So he says, "Thank you for the opportunity to edit a compendium to the Bible. Your book is a powerful and thorough examination of the Bible. Your examples are clear and your faith is clearly demonstrated on every page. I wish you the best luck on your revisions."
That's a very good review. And you said that was an editor?
That was an editor, yes.
That's awesome. Congratulations. Is there any advice that you would give to somebody that's writing their first book right now?
Well, I don't really consider myself a writer. I'm more of just a Bible student. And what I've written is really just my own personal Bible notes, the summation of a lifetime of trying to understand what is really taking place in this world. I suppose in answer to your question, a writer should try to put to paper what's written in their heart.
That's great. Yeah, I think that's really good advice to go with, especially somebody that may be lost with writing their first book. Just going with your heart. Do you have any professional or personal goals for yourself or your book this year?
I'll continue in my studies, and if that leads me to another book, then so be it. Now that the book is published, I will also be addressing the various avenues that might be available to further promote this work.
Okay. Yeah, that's awesome. Do you have any final messages or remarks for our audience today?
I guess I should let you know that the book is available through Amazon and Apple and Google, etc. You know, In reality, I have no real interest in making money off this book. So if someone were to contact me, I would more than happily send them a promotional ebook code that they could redeem for a free promotional ebook. I have no aspirations to make any money out of this, you know.
Okay, that's great to know. Is there a certain way you would like people to contact you if they want to reach out to you?
Well, there is a website. I do have a website, www.acompendiumtothebible.com.
Okay. And people will be able to reach out to you there?
I'm not exactly sure how it's, you know, they can contact me there. So, but then it's got to be kind of forwarded through the publisher. So right. How that happens, if it makes it to me, I would more than, I have an endless supply of these ebook promotional codes.
Great.
So I would be more than happy to.
Yeah. And I think that's, great promotion is, ebook codes and word of mouth and people promoting your book by just telling their friends and family, hey, I read this great book. You could check it out or, buy it on Amazon and see what you think.
Well, yeah, I mean, when you first read it through, you might want to, it'd be okay to do it with an ebook, I think. But then I think it deserves more than just one reading. And most people who would probably want to read things over and over, and if they're anything like me, I like to underline and make notes and stuff like that. So I never deal with anything like any ebooks. I always have a hard copy and I always mess them up, So
in a way, it could be used as a reference. People could, go back to it for reference in the future if they need it.
Yeah, I think that it's something that should be probably used as a reference book,
Okay. Well, thank you so much for joining us today. I really like the word of your book, and I think others will too. I just want to reiterate that you can get Michael's book on Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com, as well as reaching out to him through his website. What was your website, Michael?
It's www.acompendiumtothebible.com. www.thebible.com, everything lowercase.
Okay. And if you want to reach out to him there, he also may have some free ebook codes for you as well. But thank you so much, Michael, for joining us today.
I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Thanks for listening. Before we go, show some love by leaving us a review on Apple Podcast. Stay tuned for our next interview on the Book Connection Show, where we meet extraordinary indie voices with incredible stories.